I'm convinced San Diego Padres general manager A.J. Preller listens to In the Bullpen. And it's obvious he's out to get me. I mean, really, is there any other explanation? Welcome to In the Bullpen with Mark Dewey. You're listening to the Fight Laugh Feast Network. Thank you for joining us.
And look who's coming up. High fly ball into right field. She is gone!
Yeah, I had a little fun there with the introduction. And it's because if you listened to last week's episode, I had mentioned the fact that this year, like every other year, not much typically is going to happen between Christmas and New Year's. Well, for those of you that think I get up at 4 o'clock in the morning to record the podcast so that it drops at 5 o'clock, I hate to disappoint you, but that's not what happens. Typically, before I go to bed on Sunday night, I load the podcast up and have it ready to drop at 5 o'clock Monday morning. And during the season, that often means late Sunday night. During the postseason, it often means early Monday morning. But in this case, it meant prior to knowing what was going on, essentially, while I was asleep Sunday night and before I woke up Monday morning. Because what was happening is that A.J. Preller, the general manager of the Padres, was making a huge trade. He traded some top prospects to the Tampa Bay Rays for pitcher Blake Snell. And it didn't end there. After that, he also signed a big-name free agent out of Korea. He also traded for Yu Darvish from the Chicago Cubs. He was very busy. Other things were going on, but the busyness between Christmas and New Year's was fundamentally about the Padres and about A.J. Preller. As a matter of fact, it wasn't just a surprise to me. A sports writer tweeted out that he believed that maybe A.J. Preller thought that the trade deadline had changed to December 31st. So there was a lot more action between Christmas and New Year's than would be expected. That said, not a lot of action as it regards the major free agents that are available. The Trevor Bowers, DJ LeMahieu, JT Realmuto, George Springer, and the like. Nothing going on yet with that. But we'll wait to see how that unfolds and how quickly or slowly that unfolds. Now, one thing I did know about last week when I recorded the episode, but decided because of what was going to be covered last week, I would wait till this week, and that is that another Hall of Fame player died. Phil Niekro, the Hall of Fame pitcher, died at the age of 81 after struggling and battling cancer. He is the seventh, or was the seventh, Hall of Fame player to die in 2020, which is the most ever, the most Hall of Fame players that have ever died in one single calendar year. So another great from baseball's past has left this earth. Now that makes me think about, okay, we're looking back at the past. We lost a lot of Hall of Famers, not only great baseball players, but men that are highly respected and highly praised by others. And it makes me wonder, where is baseball headed? Where are we headed in 2021? Where is baseball headed after 2021? Now, a couple of weeks ago, there was an article. It was on December 15th, actually, that kind of caught me off guard. Not off guard might be too strong of a statement, but definitely piqued my interest. And it was an article that was basically referring to another article written by Bob Nightingale of USA Today. And it had to do with what should we expect in 2021? Should we expect 162 games? Should we expect a season to start before players and maybe even fans have received the COVID-19 vaccination? Listen to this. I'm going to tell you something that one American League owner said, and then also one National League owner. The American League owner said this: I don't see any way spring training starts in February. Zero chance of that. I don't care if we play 140 games, 120 games, or 80 games. We have to make sure everyone is safe to do this right. 80 games? That's remarkable. Here's what the National League owner said. I think there will be significant pressure for players to get the vaccine first before they go to spring training. And if that has to be moved back to April, that being spring training, and we play 130 games, so be it. But to have 162 games and start spring training at the normal time without players being vaccinated, that's just crazy. Does Arizona and Florida, with their cases spiking, really want teams with about 125 people in each organization coming to town without vaccines? That's a good question. But the bigger question is, do we expect the players all to be vaccinated? Because I'm guessing that the players that are 40-man roster players and therefore a part of the Major League Baseball Players Association, a part of the union, are not going to be required. I think the union will prevent that from happening, but we will see. But is there going to be a delay, both in the start of spring training and even maybe in the start of the season? Could we see as few as 80 games in the 2021 season? And what is going to be expected of the fans? Will they let fans in the ballpark? Will they do it with, whatever it was, 25% capacity like they did in the postseason? Is it going to be required, if you're going to be one of those people at the ballpark, to be vaccinated? I've already told my family that it is possible that we will not be able to go to a professional baseball game again. We'll see what happens. But that's just 2021. I want to look even at the bigger picture. Where is Major League Baseball headed, not only in the next few months, but in the years down the road? And I think it's good to try to understand where we're headed to ask, where did we come from? And in that light, I had something that almost happened, and it actually was on December 15th as well. I was contacted, and it looked like I was going to be able to interview a former Major League Baseball player on his birthday. It didn't work out. Now, this was not just any former Major League Baseball player on any birthday. This was a man named Eddie Robinson, who spent 65 years in Major League Baseball as a player, as a coach, working in the front office. And on December 15th, the day I thought I might get to interview him, he was celebrating his 100th birthday. He is the oldest former Major League Baseball player on planet Earth. And the interview fell through, and that was disappointing, but I found out something else, I think the same day or the next day. Eddie Robinson, who turned 100 December 15th, has his own podcast. And it just started not too long ago, I think in early October, so a couple of months before he turned 100. And I think he's released about 9 or 10 podcasts to this point. I've caught up on most of them. But 100 years old, and he has his podcast. And it's a great podcast to listen to. It's actually called The Golden Age of Baseball with Eddie Robinson. And he's going chronologically through his life and through his career. I believe in the first podcast, he even mentions about when he was 9 in 1929 and the local baseball that he played. And he's working his way through his major league career. And he basically just opens up the mic and tells stories. And it's fascinating because this guy recalls names, events, the dimensions of ballparks. It's absolutely amazing. And he tells some great stories. And in the podcast, the last one I listened to, which I think came out December 23rd, and in his career, he was in 1947. So he was talking about Jackie Robinson. He was talking about Larry Doby. And at this time, he was also talking about a little story, a side story, if you will, about when he was a player for the Yankees. And they had a game on Saturday night that went extra innings and went very late into the night. And then they had a game the next day, a day game on Sunday afternoon. And because of that, Eddie Robinson and some others decided, well, we will not show up for BP the next day. We'll get a little extra rest and we'll get there in time to play the game. And so Eddie Robinson comes in to the clubhouse and he's getting himself ready. And those players who had been there for batting practice are coming off the field and into the clubhouse. And one of those players was Yogi Berra. And Yogi Berra walks up to Eddie Robinson and says, "Hey, you sure did miss it." From here, I'll let Eddie finish the story.
I said, "Well, what did I miss?" He said there were two streakers. He said they jumped on the field at the right field foul line and they ran all the way across the field to the left field foul line and jumped up in the seats and ran off. For those of you who don't know what a streaker is, and I'm sure some of you don't, during the time I played, there occasionally a streaker would be a person with no clothes on who would run nude for a short distance, just to shock everybody, give everybody something to talk about. And it happened once in a while. It's a strange thing, but they got a kick out of doing it. Anyway, these two streakers did it. I said, no kidding, Yogi, I guess I did miss it. I said, what were they, boys or girls? He thought for a minute, and then he said, I don't know. He said they had bags on their heads.
That is a classic Yogiism right there. But Eddie Robinson just tells wonderful stories. And I think that the title of this podcast is very, very fitting. The Golden Age of Baseball with Eddie Robinson. So if you like Major League Baseball, if you like in particular the history of baseball and even history in general, I suggest that you check that podcast out. It's just a joy to listen to. And the title is very suggestive. It is saying there was a time that was the Golden Age. In other words, this time isn't that Golden Age. And as we consider where we are now, what we might expect in 2021 and where we're headed as it regards Major League Baseball. What's the big picture? Thinking about golden ages and where things are now is very important. Now, I have kept a couple of tweets ready for such an occasion, and I decided to break them out today. The first one is by a man who pitched professionally, managed professionally, and coached professionally, and I had the opportunity and the privilege to coach with him. His name is Michael Slacht. And several weeks ago, he tweeted this. He said, we place so much emphasis on making sure we're good sports when we lose that we forget to teach how to win the right way. It's simple. Act like you've been there before. Be humble. Be respectful. Be confident, but don't gloat. Win and lose with class. That's how you earn respect. And I don't know what it is you do on Twitter. I guess you like it or you love it, whatever. But I clicked on that. That's the kind of stuff that I say, yeah, that's how the game ought to be played. That's how we ought to go about it. Now, sometime, I think it was before that, there was another tweet. This took place in the postseason. And it was by Trevor Bauer, who likes to tweet, who has a very huge presence on Twitter. And he tweeted, if Ronald Acuna Jr. hits an oppo homer off you and it hits the second deck, he can bat flip all he wants, and you just have to wear it. I mean, he could Contreras that thing to the moon for all I care. Good Lord, that was a tank. If you don't like it, get him out and strut on him. This is the direction the game is going and needs to go to survive. Don't like getting shown up? Get better or get out. This league ain't waiting around for you. What a contrast. And I would say that Michael Slacht fits in the so-called old school, or would fit very well in the golden age of baseball. Trevor Bauer is saying, whatever you want to say about the past, if you want to call it the golden age, so be it. But for baseball to survive now, in 2020, in 2021, and in moving forward, it's got to do things that baseball didn't used to do. Respect, earning respect, being respectful, not gloating, winning and losing with class, that's not what it is. That's not what it's about. And if you don't like it when somebody shows you up, then get him out, and then you can strut on him. I have all sorts of problems with that, but one of the big ones is, again, a respect, and in particular, a respect for people who had been in the game for a long time, who are Hall of Famers. So some guy who's a bench player that might not even get a year in Major League Baseball very likely could hit a home run off of Clayton Kershaw. But he should respect Clayton Kershaw as a man. He should respect his career. He should respect the fact that he's a first ballot Hall of Famer. And some pitcher will get called up and maybe get two innings in his whole Major League Baseball career, and he might strike out and make Albert Pujols look silly. But there is a respect for Albert Pujols as a man, as a baseball player, and the game. Now you say to me, well, you take a guy that I've never heard of, whoever Michael Slacht is. Yeah, he played and coached and managed, but I don't know who he is. And then you give me a quote or a tweet from a Cy Young winner. He just won the Cy Young in the National League. I understand that, but how about this one? If we want to kind of call and then raise, I'll call Trevor Bauer Cy Young, and I'll raise it with Frank Thomas's Hall of Fame credentials. 521 lifetime home runs, and a Hall of Fame induction in 2014. This was something that was in the Memories and Dreams magazine. That's the magazine that the Baseball Hall of Fame puts out in winter 2020, the last magazine that I got, the last, not episode, but the last one that was released. This is what Thomas said. When I hit a home run, I wanted to get around the bases in a hurry because I didn't want the other team to focus on it. It happened, and it's over. Let's move on. I was taught that that's what being a pro is all about. You hit a home run, act like you've been there, get around the bases, and start thinking about your next at-bat. That, I believe, is the way the game should be played. And that is, I believe, the way the game ought to be played even in 2021. Trevor Bauer obviously disagrees. Now, I'll raise it up more and bring in a biblical perspective on this. We've heard, let the kids play. And as a matter of fact, a guy that I believe played the game the right way, with class, with respect, with enthusiasm, with joy, Ken Griffey Jr., has been used in advertisements to say that. Let the kids play. Well, listen to this. This is from Rush Dooney's Systematic Theology. He says this, when man and the universe are in business for themselves, then aseity is transferred from the creator to the creation to the creature. In politics, religion, education, family life, and in all society, and I'll insert my words here, that would include Major League Baseball, now back to Rush Dooney, this demand for aseity becomes a governing force. I want to be me becomes a battle cry, and it means freedom from responsibility and from all ties, moral and human. That is my concern. Again, people playing the game with passion and enthusiasm and joy, of course that's got to be there. But people playing the game with a complete disrespect for the game and for the opponent, whether that's an individual or the team, that I believe is not what the game needs to survive. It is what is going to continue to cause the game to be liked and watched and appreciated less and less. Now, Major League Baseball is downstream from our culture, and culture is downstream from religion, as Henry Van Til would say. But the question is this, is Trevor Bauer correct? Is he right that in order for Major League Baseball to survive, it's got to do the kinds of things, the strutting, the showing up, the lack of respect, the lack of class? Is that what's necessary? He may truly believe that, but is he right? And he might be. That's a scary thing. Maybe he is. I believe he's wrong. But I remember we used to have to go to meetings when I was coaching during spring training, a lot of very politically correct meetings, just a lot of stuff. And this was at least 5 years ago, probably more like 7 years ago. And at that time, it was a Saturday, we would be in these meetings, both all of the players in the minor leagues and all of the minor league staff, coaches, managers, and the like. And I remember in this meeting, put on by Major League Baseball, the whole thrust of this particular session was about improving your brand. And I was sitting there listening to this, and I was going nuts. I was squirming in my seat. And a person sitting next to me, Steve Klein, affectionately known as Doc for the Brewers, he was a guy that was a pitching coach when I came up through the Giants system. I never had him. But he was a player, then got as high as AAA, and then went into coaching, I believe, in the early 80s, and has been coaching since for about 15 to 20 years with the Giants first, and then the last 15 or so years, maybe 20 years with the Brewers. And he was sitting next to me. And I said, Doc, this is what it's all about? It's all about me? This is Major League Baseball basically saying to these players, it's all about you. It's about what you can do to improve your brand. Now, I've sat through meetings far worse than that, but I was pretty upset about that one. And maybe some of those other meetings I'll talk about in the future. But if Trevor Bauer is correct, it says a lot, not only about where Major League Baseball is headed, but our culture as well. And I'm confident it says something also about the direction of the Christian church. But that's a conversation for another day. Join us next time for In the Bullpen on the Fight, Laugh, Feast Network. Thank you for listening.